guitar that opens the album, the first chords of Cinnamon Girl, they're special. It's difficult to imagine hearing that for the first time, out of context, but now, 55 years later, that guitar tone is unmistakably the iconic sound of Crazy Horse. Welcome to Ragged Glory, I'm Rob Jones, and I'm taking a run through the career of one of my favourite artists of all time, Neil Young. One album at a time, and there's lots to get through. This time we're looking at what, for many people, is the first proper Neil Young album. Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere. I say proper because this is the first time he brings the horse out of the barn, and it's the beginning of one of the finest collaborations in rock and roll history. So this record is recorded and released in 1969, which continues a decade of massive historical events unfolding around the world. In March, we saw Concorde's first flight. The supersonic passenger airliner developed jointly by Britain and France had its maiden flight on the 2nd of March 1969, making the world a somewhat smaller place. A police raid on the Stonewall Inn, a popular gay bar in Greenwich Village, New York, in June 1969 led to several days of protests and riots. The Stonewall riots mark a significant moment in the LGBTQ plus rights movement. The riots erupted in response to repeated raids on the establishment for its serving of alcohol to members of the LGBTQ community, with authorities arguing that a simple gathering of gay people was enough to be deemed disorderly. Wow. While Vietnam rages on and public protests of the war gather pace, and even with the first troop withdrawals in June, the draft lotteries begin in December. Apollo 11's mission to the moon is a successful one, and over two brutal nights in August, the era of peace and love is brought to a close with the Manson family and the Tate LaBianca murders. Also that August, billed as an Aquarian exposition, 3 days of peace and music, more than 460,000 people would attend Woodstock for what would be seen as a counterculture event of the decade, featuring performances from the likes of Jimi Hendrix, The Who, Jefferson Airplane, The Grateful Dead, and our hero, Neil Young, alongside Crosby, Stills and Nash. I could probably make a 40-minute podcast on all of the important records released in 1969, but just to give a flavour of what else was around this year, The Beatles gave us Abbey Road, Bob Dylan releases Nashville Skyline, and The Who put out Tommy, while we also get Let It Bleed from the Rolling Stones, the first record from the Stooges, and the wonderful Trout Mouse replica from Captain Beefheart. But it's probably time to get into the record that we're here for. So Crazy Horse were originally known as the Rockets until Neil Young, shall we say, recruited them to make this record and go on tour. So Neil Young and this, Wootton Talbert and Molina to back him on his second solo album. And although all parties kind of saw the Rockets continuing as a separate project, the older band soon folded, because of Neil Young's strict rehearsal schedule. According to George Witzel, who was in the Rockets but didn't join Crazy Horse, quote, "My understanding was Neil was going to use the guys for a record and a quick tour, bring them back and help us produce the next Rocket album. It took me a year and a half to realise that my band had been taken." Credited to Neil Young with Crazy Horse, Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere was released in May 1969. During a 98-week chart stay, it peaked at number 34 on the Billboard 200 in August 1970, after Young had built some prominence as a member of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and I expect performances at Woodstock would have helped that. This album also includes the number 55 hit Cinnamon Girl and extended tracks Down by the River and Cowgirl in the Sand, alongside country and folk-influenced songs such as Running Dry, Requiem for the Rockets. In an interview back in about 2001, something like that, I think it was, Ralph Molina remembered how the group ended up collaborating with Neil Young. Quote, "Neil would come to Billy Talbert's house in Laurel Canyon after he left the Springfield and play acoustic with us and talk. After we became the Rockets, we were going to play the Whiskey in Hollywood. We asked him to come and sit in with us, which he did. We then formed into Crazy Horse and recorded Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere. The sessions went free and easy, like they are to this day. No rehearsals. Neil walks in with a song, then we jump in. We get it in one, two takes. After that, the feel, heart and emotion are lost. Any more takes and now you're just playing a part. When you're young, there are no politics, nothing to get in the way. We just had fun playing. No thinking, just playing. Neil Young himself credits the album's sound to the guitar playing of Danny Whitten and the chemistry between the two, which he explained in the biography Shaky. There's a passage here, it goes, "That's what was so great about Crazy Horse in those days. Danny understood my music and everyone listened to Danny. He understood what we were doing. A really great second guitar player, the perfect counterpoint to everything else that was happening. His style of playing was so adventuresome, so sympathetic, so unthoughtful and just so natural. That's what really made Cowgirl in the Sand and Down by the River happen. Danny's guitar parts. Nobody played guitar with me like that, that rhythm. When you listen to Cowgirl in the Sand, he keeps changing, plays something one and a half, maybe two times, and then he's on to the next thing. Billy and Ralph will get into a groove and everything will be going along and all of a sudden Daniel will start doing something else. He just led those guys from one groove to another, all within the same groove. So when I played these long guitar solos, it seemed like they weren't all that long. That I was making all these changes when in reality what was changing was not one thing but the whole band. Danny was the key." So this is definitely one of the Neil Young albums I'm familiar with. As we said before, there are plenty of gaps in that. There are plenty of gaps that I'm hoping to fill, but this isn't one of them. Here is what Rolling Stone's Bruce Mirov wrote about the album in August 1969. "While Neil Young is a fine songwriter and an excellent guitarist, his greatest strength is his voice. Its arid tone is perpetually mournful, without being maudlin or pathetic. It hints at a world in which sorrow underlies everything. Even a line like, 'You can't conceive of the pleasure in my smile,' from I'm a Child, ultimately becomes painful to hear. And because that world is recognisable to most of us, Young singing is often strangely moving. In a natural and moving way, Neil Young is the Johnny Ray of rock and roll. Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere is Young's second album since the demise of the Buffalo Springfield. In several respects, it falls short of his previous effort. Young's new material is a little disappointing, but despite its shortcomings, Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere offers ample rewards. Young's music partially makes up for its lack of grace by its energy and its assurance, and his singing is still superb. Listen, for example, to the conviction with which he gives the title cut, a song about the need for and the impossibility of escape from Los Angeles. The most interesting tracks on the album are Running Dry and Cowgirl in the Sand. Building on a traditional funk melody, Running Dry interweaves electric guitar and violin into a disquieting blend. Its aura of strangeness is somewhat reminiscent of Young's magnificent Out of My Mind. The lyrics are a bit overdramatic, but the music and vocal manage to transcend them, creating the feeling of dimly understood tragedy. On Cowgirl in the Sand, everything works. The lyrics are quietly accusative, while the lead guitar, alternately soaring, piercing and driving, keeps the song surging forward. But it is Young's singing which is the real key to the success of this track. Cowgirl in the Sand demonstrates quite clearly the peculiar depths of Young's voice. So there's only 7 tracks on this record, but it still clocks in at just over 40 minutes. Obviously a runtime helped by the expansive Down by the River and the closer Cowgirl in the Sand. But as I mentioned at the start, we open with Cinnamon Girl and that guitar and that tone. And it's just a great track and a great opener, especially with the band getting to stomp along a bit. And it's a sound that we'll all come to love over the next 50 years. The title track has got a really, really cool groove on it. And while the guitars sound cool and his voice is great on the main vocals, it's the slightly off-kilter la-la-las that weirdly pull the track together. Round and Round is closer to stuff on his debut solo record. And there's some lovely harmonies on there. But yeah, it definitely harks back to his previous work. And maybe it's a little look ahead to stuff we'll hear on a couple of records that would come in a few years after this record. But Down by the River is the one, isn't it? I can remember watching Neil Young doing it at Glastonbury, and it was like a 15-16 minute version of it he did, and he just seemed to be loving the vibes and didn't seem to care that there was 80,000 or 90,000 people watching him while he's just floating away into jam band heaven. He just seemed to be absolutely loving it. After that, The Losing End feels a bit of a throwaway country folksy number. But it's not terrible. All the vocals really work nicely together, and that lovely clean guitar twang, that's really cool. Running Dry, Requiem for the Rockets, it's got real cool fiddle at the start, and it feels quite country, which is a thing that runs through a lot of Neil Young's work. I feel that without any records really ever becoming full-on country albums, I suppose that's the thing. You can hear all these different influences in his work, but it's always a Neil Young record. Does that make sense? But yeah, this is quite sparse, and it goes into some interesting places, but it is that fiddle, that violin that holds it all together. And then the album closes with Cowgirl in the Sand, and it's another that always kind of pops in my head when I think of Crazy Horse. Some of the guitar tones are just kept for all the louder stuff throughout his career, and it specifically reminds me of some of the guitars on Mirable, the album he did mid-90s with Pearl Jam as his band, the album that really turned me on to Neil Young in the first place, to be fair. But it's a really, really good song, isn't it? And even at nearly 10 minutes, it rattles along, and the guitar work on it is exceptional. So as on previous episodes, I'm going to give a score from 5 for a few categories, so eventually we can rank all the Neil Young albums alongside each other using my very poor rating system. So here goes. Best tracks. I think Down by the River and Cowgirl in the Sand are the best tracks on the record. And yes, it's one I'm a bit more familiar with. But yeah, it's a really good album. Strong songs throughout, and 2 or 3 songs that would become synonymous with Crazy Horse, or with that Crazy Horse sound. So I'm going to give it, out of 5, 4.2 for the quality of its very best songs. Replayability. Now, as I said, this is one of the Neil Young records that I'm more familiar with and have listened to it loads over the last 30 years. And it probably sits in the top 10 of my most listened to Neil Young albums. So I think we'll say 3.8 out of 5 for replayability. Because there are still other Neil Young records that I'd put on before this one. But yeah, replayability on this, especially with things like Down by the River and the guitar work on Cowgirl in the Sand, you can just keep hearing new things in those tracks the more and more you listen to it. Originality and impact. There's a few nods to his previous work, but there's some big, massive road signs to what's coming ahead, especially like with the guitars that are so dominant and that tone. And, you know, I love that guitar tone. It's just iconic. I think if you take these sonic qualities as kind of originality, and then if you look at how long they stick to that kind of sound and tonality, especially on Crazy Horse records, if you take that side of it as impact, then it's got to be another 4 out of 5 for this. Does this record define the Crazy Horse sound? I think it probably does. I think it goes a long way to get into what we know and love as Neil Young and Crazy Horse. So I think 4 out of 5 will do that. We'll do that. Consistency and quality. Overall, the album is pretty consistent. I do feel like Round and Round and The Losing End are much weaker than the other tracks. And even though Running Dry does some interesting things, it's not quite up there with the other tracks. So there's 4 great tracks, like 1 good track and 2, yeah, they're all right, I suppose. But do the great tracks elevate the weaker ones? I don't know. Maybe not. You do feel a drop-off after the title track, so I think we'll say 3 out of 5? Or should I be generous and go 3.5? A whole point higher than the previous album. Yeah, I think 3.5 are consistency and quality. See, I'm also well aware that I need to have somewhere to go when some of the truly, truly great records that are coming up, some quite quickly in the next few weeks, when we start doing those. So if I start chucking around high scores too early, what happens when we get to Harvest Moon or my favourite, Sleeps of Angels? Where do we go? Rate your music. So rateyourmusic.com has given this record an average score of 4.04 out of 5 from 15,151 ratings. And so I thought I'd share one of the average reviews from that site. So this was a 4 out of 5 stars they gave. And Freewheeling Donut wrote in November 2023, "How in the hell did Neil Young write the majority of tracks while sick with a fever? Because he's a singer-songwriter genius. That's not a word I throw around easily. With the help of Crazy Horse, they created a slower and harder pop sound that doesn't lose the sunshine pop melodies in exchange for that rougher guitar sound. Ahead of its time, but also just sounds great. There's experimental choices in having not one but two tracks that go over the 9-minute mark without it feeling bloated. Lightning in a Bottle. Young's albums after this prove he is just that." So that's a pretty, pretty good review of the album. So if I add up all my scores in the average review from Rate Your Music and do some maths, we end up with a score of 3.9 out of 5. That 1969's Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere. Overall then, it's a really good album. It's a really good album that sets out what we should expect and mostly what we get from Neil Young for like the next 50, 55 years. Cool melodies, exceptional guitar work, and songs that make you just want to watch the dude just play for 20 minutes without ever looking up. Can you imagine if he continued making records like he did with Crosby, Stills and Nash or Buffalo Springfield? Do you know, like, technically building a song and layering and overdubbing to produce like as perfect a record as they could get. And if he never put this band together where they just played, you know, here's an idea, here's how it goes, but let's see where it takes us. That is the Neil Young that I love. So let me know your thoughts on this album, and if you have any opinions you want to share about some of the records coming up, you can email me at recordsandbands@gmail.com or through the Records and Bands social media. All the links will be in the show notes. Next time, we're getting well into the big records, so the classic albums, as we'll be looking at 1970s after the Gold Rush. Thank you very much for listening. I have been Rob Jones, and this has been Ragged Glory, a Neil Young adventure.